It is the 4F Film Review Podcast. I'm Shay.
I'm Eric.
And we need to explain what this is because we sort of rushed into it last week.
Or at least what the name means. 4F Review Podcast. What does that mean?
Well, F is a letter.
F is a letter. And then four of
it
them.
It is the one. Yeah. Sixth letter of the alphabet.
It is.
But, the American alphabet.
But yeah, we're watching films. We're having fun. We're friends, and we are doing fast reviews. One of the conceits of this podcast is we just watched the film, and then we are recording this like literally within minutes afterwards. So these are all the things that go to the conceit of our podcast, and then 4F is the. Demarcation for being insane and being kicked out of the army. So we're a little bit nutty, or at least I am. I know that. So yeah, that's where I came up with the name.
I appreciate you not speaking for me in terms of my insanity.
Yeah, you're more mentally fit than I am.
I don't know if I would go as far as that, but I don't think I suffer from delusions. I think I suffer from, you know, just general unwellness.
Maybe did you take a pill?
That's a great segue.
I mean,
that is what, the greatest segue.
What kind of pill did you take, and you know what ails you? It might tell you something.
Well, I think that you have two options. Well, really, you have three options. The third option was not discussed. The three options are: you can take the red pill, and you learn the truth. You could take the blue pill, and you go back the way everything was. And the third option is you take neither pill, and we just kind of sit here awkwardly for a while. And then it's like, well, you kind of have to take one or the other, because you can't just go on the way things are this partial truth, partial...
I reject binary choices inherently. I always try to find some third way, you know.
That is a very interesting way to frame it, considering the directors of this film.
But yeah.
Which
yeah.
we will say the name of shortly. We watched The Matrix.
Yes. Yes, we did. We watched The Matrix by the Wachowskis.
The Wachowskis. At the time, not the Wachowskis, and in the years since, the 25 plus years since The Matrix came out, there have been quite a few discussions about what the film means, both to them and to everyone. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But we do have an actual film to discuss first. I had never seen The Matrix, Eric. You had seen it at the time in theaters. You were a young, impressionable 18-year-old male in Illinois,
uh-huh.
in the Midwest. Seeing this crazy, over-the-top sci-fi action thriller, a cyber thriller, if you will.
Indeed.
What was the reaction to this movie at the time? I was 6 years old. I had no sort of reference point for this movie whatsoever. I would start to see the references and stuff,
right.
but I never saw the original until today.
Yeah, well, I'll ask you for your impressions in a moment, but for me, seeing this at the time, it was definitely like, whoa, this was kind of a revolutionary film at the time, both in terms of like some of the action sequences, but also in some of the narrative and stuff like that. And it's trying to be transgressive a bit.
There's that word again.
And, you know, it's got something that's cooking a little bit different, and it hits hard in 1999. It's breaking down doors in people's heads and making them think, whoa,
yeah.
the world might yeah, be way whoa. Differently than I think. And
yeah, I commented at one point during the movie, and this kind of dovetails nicely into my thoughts on it, which is basically like, you don't often see action movies this big and this silly, A, take themselves so seriously and not be able to lampoon that fact, basically, while you're watching it, but also juxtapose this kind of cerebral approach to storytelling, where you kind of... The closest example I can think of, and pardon me if this is way off base, but that's Inception from like 2011 or whatever it was.
No, that's a you brought that up, and that's a very that's a good comparison, where there is this sense of a different reality, and that there's more going on than you can actually fully grasp as you're going through the narrative, and that things are kind of they feel out of your hands as an audience, like the action might not be resolved in a straightforward narrative way. Like, you know, we think of things like A to B, B to C, when in reality there's something coming out from X here that's just gonna happen instead.
But what is reality, man?
Exactly. Because when the world doesn't operate as you expect it to, man, then anything can happen.
Is this a stoner movie, or is that like, you don't need to be stoned to watch this movie? You could be stoned to watch any movie.
No, but there's definitely stoners who definitely appreciated this movie.
I would be afraid to watch this movie while under the influence of any substance, because I feel like it would unlock something in my brain that I would never be able to let go of.
Mm.
But as it was, sitting in the basement sober and watching it and just kind of taking it all in, it was sobering in a way to kind of have the concepts presented in such a way where they would say, "This is not a spoon," and then he would say something, and you could easily imagine them responding with, "Well, the thing that you said isn't real either. That's just your perception of what is happening." You could stop the entire plot right there and just say, "Nope, it's not that." And he would say, "Well, what about that?" And he's like, "Well, that's also not that." You could very easily just do that for 2.5 hours, and that would be the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad they didn't do that, because that would have been...
Yes, you could be really trite about a lot of things, because, whenever they're in the Matrix, none of this is real, so none of this matters, and, you know, and just make it a real gobbledygook, and, you know, too surreal. But they keep it pretty grounded, how they manage to propel the story along, move the plot, and introduce you to these concepts and the different plot points where you understand everything that's going on.
This movie is significantly culturally relevant in the sense that it has been selected for preservation in the Congress Library of Historical Media, or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Apologies for not knowing the exact name.
We need to preserve the Matrix.
Well, I mean, we need to have an example, you know, of what we need to do 200 years from now when we've created AI and things have gone bad. Oh, wait.
Yes.
We're a little bit of an accelerated schedule, actually, in that way.
Yeah.
It was hilarious because they brought up this concept of, well, humans created AI and we thought it would be the solution to everything, but then it went real bad.
They're a little oblique with it. They're like, we aren't sure whether they attacked first or whether we did, but
yeah, I bet you don't know.
Yeah, sure, but yeah, the AI makes machines and they decide, you know, that they're going to supplant us, and dang, that's
they're solar powered, so we moved underground,
right? Well, and we burnt the skies, whatever that apparently means. I mean, presumably that means we made a nuclear holocaust or something.
I mean, it didn't look great out there.
No,
you know,
it didn't.
They showed very early on in the movie, like, hey, this is what the reality you left looks like. You know, this is the late 90s New York City.
Yeah.
And then, you know, classic, they zoom out and then they zoom back in and all of a sudden it's this war-torn landscape. Then it's actually 200 years in the future and it's all bad. I really appreciate that they didn't try to do the near future thing. Because I say this all the time. Don't make a product that says this is what it's going to be like in 2030 when you put your product out in 2025. Because like, people are going to be alive and they're going to be like, no, that's not actually how it went. Like,
yeah.
Don't make a thing so close to the near future that people could presumably still watch it. Like, will anybody watch the Matrix in 2199, I guess, is the question.
I mean,
no chance we make it, right? Not us.
I mean, no, certainly not us. But, although, you know, maybe if our tech overlords have their way, that, you know, we'll all be like
a brain in a jar.
Brain in a jar.
Would you do that if that was an option available to you? Like, let's say it didn't cost you anything, and you could just go on not living, but like being able to observe, and you could maybe still enjoy the things that you enjoy.
Now, do I have some sort of sensations like, okay, I've got a robot body or whatever, presumably.
Well,
do I have like sensors on it where I could like feel something with my robot arms?
Well, you're speaking to an expert on this topic.
I mean, yes. Why?
So I'm glad that you asked. You have the receivers in your brain that can accept pleasure and the opposite of pleasure. Not pain, but like you would be disappointed in something. Like you still have the same sensations
of life, but like do you feel your physical body? Like
no, you don't have a physical body. Let's just stop there.
Yeah, okay, so you're just a head in a jar. Yeah, that's
not necessarily. You don't have to be a head. Why are you thinking so small?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm stuck in a very
you need to open your mind, centric
perspective of having a brain inside of a meat helmet.
What if the jar was the meat helmet and your brain was in the jar, and then you do have a head, but it's actually a jar?
That's kind of what I'm existing through.
This is why we didn't watch this movie on
in that paradigm.
By the way.
So, you know, I need to do some more drugs. That's probably the solution. And then I could probably answer that.
I think now that we have a name for the podcast and presumably we're looking for advertisers, a declaration that we're going to start doing more drugs is definitely what the advertisers want to hear.
I mean, yes, obviously. I mean, that's what everybody wants to be associated with. And you know, that we are, and that our name is associated with insanity in some oblique way. These are all good, positive things for revenue generation.
Is it oblique in the sense that you don't look at 4F and normally know what it is? Because you did spell it out like right at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. that it means insanity in the military sense.
Yes.
Okay, so you're counting on advertisers not having that military experience. Well,
yeah, because most of them won't. Or, I mean, how most people would be aware of 4F is if they were aware of Corporal Klinger from the TV show MASH. Who famously would dress as a woman in order to convey a sense of he was crazy or whatever. But,
I mean, who but, among us?
Yeah, who among us? Exactly. But fortunately, the colonel, both of the colonels, they saw right through that. And eventually, Corporal Klinger actually gave it up and just started dressing in normal fatigues by the end of the series.
Normal female fatigues, or
no,
just
normal issue fatigues that were issued to both men and women.
Oh, I will be honest with you. Before that, I had a mental picture of him showing up to combat in like a sundress.
Yes, Corporal Klinger dressed up in sundresses.
That is what happened?
Yes, okay, yes. That so was what his character on MASH did, was he was always dressing in sundresses and in different ladies' dresses. He looked like he was showing up to Sunday church.
Much like every movie in human history, I have not seen the movie based on the TV show MASH, nor have I seen the television show. So maybe in the future we can watch...
Yeah, I mean, if we ever get into football movies in particular, that would be a great one to get into.
MASH?
Yes.
That's a football movie?
Yes.
It's my understanding. Okay, I don't know.
Well, there is a significant football sequence within the film MASH, which is excellent.
Did we watch the movie? I know we're way off the Matrix. It doesn't matter. This is the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not telling you that. I'm telling the audience that.
I'm aware.
In case you didn't know, you as I gesture off into the universe. Did we watch Concussion for the podcast?
No, we did not.
Okay, because we did a few shows. We call them the lost episodes before the published episodes that we ended up doing. And I couldn't remember if we did Concussion. So maybe we could rewatch Concussion, Draft Day, and MASH. There's your three film run.
Yeah. Well, Draft Day, I was definitely already thinking about Draft Day coming around.
I have to watch Draft Day again.
I mean,
we should watch it every year. Make it a yearly tradition.
It should be like a March April tradition. Getting ready for the NFL draft. That we watch Draft Day.
When is that movie going to be adopted by the National Library of Congress as historically relevant?
I mean, it really says a lot about filmmaking circa 2014 and how we thought about the NFL. And, you know, which in both cases, not in good ways. So,
you know. All right. Well, that's enough of that. What else do we like about The Matrix? Just to like rip this podcast back on topic.
Yeah, yeah. Get us somewhat back on track.
I really did like this movie quite a bit, which is exactly why I haven't said a word about it to this point.
It's a good movie. I think it got... Similar to Jurassic Park, there's people who definitely thought this was a great movie, and there's some people who made this like their whole personality. Yeah,
I'm not
or something
going as far
like
as that.
That.
Not
which
going as far
I don't
as that.
Think there, that was a thing that was sensible to do, but you know, it was a good movie.
I think there is a little bit of a valuable life lesson to consider when it comes to questioning reality, though. Not questioning reality, but questioning what you're told about reality and questioning. Maybe someone tells you, hey, things are this way because they're this way. And you're like, well, do they have to be that way? Maybe there's a better way. And little lessons like that, I think you can take from The Matrix as being, it's kind of an inspiring movie if you think about it from that framework.
Yeah, man. You don't have to just listen to authority, man.
Just this podcast.
Right.
Don't listen to authority. Listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Sound design was very over the top, very comic booky. At one point I commented, hey, we should watch Blade for this because it was so actiony that I'm like, it reminds me of this.
Yeah. And they came out in similar time. So yeah, there's,
that's how you made an action movie in the mid to late 90s. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's quick editing, a lot of fast action sequences, the music, techno or industrial or whatever, and just a whole lot of feeling cool.
I mean, you don't walk into a building wearing that duster that Keanu Reeves had on and not just feel like the world and the sunglasses, which don't have the bridges, you know, you just snap them onto your face,
right?
Wait, I gotta get some of those.
Yeah, and you have to feel so cool enough that you're going through the metal detector, it goes off, and you're just like, whatever.
Do you have any metal on you? Just open the duster up, and it's like, all you have is guns. You're completely naked, except for completely strapped with guns.
Yes. And time for the best action sequence in the film.
There were some big effing explosions in this movie, and you need a big explosion if you're going to be an action movie that's this big and dumb. And you know, I was looking for the budget for this movie. It was only like $60 million or something like that.
Yeah,
which is that seems very economical for a movie of this scale.
Yeah, I mean,
with all the computer generated stuff,
it's on par with, you know, the big action movies of the time, but you know, it's not crazy, you know, it's, yeah, and it did well at the box office, and yeah, they especially considering the level of the effects, which the effects overall hold up pretty well, the visuals
much better than say the Mummy Returns potentially.
Yeah, which that's 3 years later than this, and that was a bigger budget than this.
It made more money too.
Pretty similar money.
Okay,
this made like 480. So
we'll look it up later.
I think it was 430 for The Mummy Returns. So but sticks in my head.
But in terms of cultural relevance, though, because we talked about this on The Mummy Returns, like it's amazing that a movie that made that much money has no cultural cachet to the point that you go on that Wikipedia page, there's nothing there. If you went on The Matrix's Wikipedia page, there you could have multiple pages of just stuff that references The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is a film that had a lot of legs.
Yes.
There's definitely plenty of stuff to reference and call back to with this. There's things like, yeah, this invented bullet time. It definitely captured my imagination. I remember thinking When I got out of the theater when I was 18, I remember thinking, wow, they didn't make a video game movie, but they made a video game into a movie. That was kind of what I thought of.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, actually, that you would take kind of the concepts presented to you in an action video game and just kind of transform it into what a movie would be.
Yeah, I think you could say that more so about something like John Wick or something like that as well.
Also starring Keanu Reeves?
Also starring
and Lawrence Fishburne?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know the John Wick movies very well. I know that obviously Keanu Reeves is in that, and there's a dog or something.
There's a dog. Lots of movies
don't mess
have dogs.
With his dog.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I'm not even gonna look it up. I don't care enough. Let the audience scream at us. Email us at 4ffilmreview@gmail.com, which is an email address that I just registered.
But right, I'm glad that you're incepting things into reality.
See, now I need to write that down and actually go register it, because mm-hmm. I'm gonna forget, and then someone's gonna, it's probably already taken. There's all sorts of problems.
Exactly.
There was the other topic that you wanted to talk about with regards to the Wachowskis, and we didn't really get to it organically, but we are running out of time.
Yeah, but the Wachowskis, as we alluded to earlier, when this film came out, they were known as the Wachowski brothers. And since that point in time, both of the directors transitioned in their lives and are now living their lives as women. And they've said that The Matrix is about transitioning, which I remember just like reading a blurb about that, like an entertainment story or whatever, and just being like, oh, you know, that just seems kind of
a little convenient.
Yeah, exactly, a little convenient. Just and you know, and just with the generic beats of the movie, of, you know, there's misperception of reality and stuff like that. I mean, I could generically see how you could put that sheen over it if you were going in hindsight. However, retrofitting it, so to speak, to where they were in their lives. However, I learned that was not the case. And actually, no, it was a story about transitioning. Like the character Switch in the film, which is the character who was mostly in white, who was kind of androgynous presenting, female.
What was her name? Switch, I think?
Switch was
her name. Was Switch.
Her name was Switch.
Oh, man.
And in the original concept in the original script, when Switch would transition into the Matrix, she would be a man.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a far more overt presentation, and also,
well, that would be that would be less overt than what they did.
Well, yeah, that would be
that would be more obvious.
Yes, but also in just reading through some of the other things, there's if you look at some of the beats in the film, Keanu Reeves' character goes from being Mr. Anderson to adopting a new name, Neo, and has a awakening into their is new what is reality and all this. So it actually the concept of this being a film about transitioning is actually very valid.
It does
when you understand those kind of things that were not included in the original film but speak to that vision, and considering how they've gone to live out their lives, I think that's actually a really nice way to understand that. And especially since I wouldn't say that they're controversial, but in some public sense, you know, trans people do attract negative attention from
charged conversation,
exactly,
at minimum,
exactly,
given where society is, and but I also wanted to say my little piece on this too, because there are some cynics out there who would say, oh, well, they're trans, therefore they're just doing this for attention or something along those lines. Or even just, even taking any sort of bias out of it, you might assume cynically that, oh, they're just doing it for attention. However, I do think it's important for people to remember that art is not always created solely from the conscious self. It can be created from the subconscious self. And it is not uncommon for people who are creating art and making true artistic statements to come to a greater understanding of their own art, maybe even years and decades later, as something that kind of helped express how they truly felt at a time where they didn't know exactly how to articulate it. And I'm not sure that's what happened with this film. I'm not sure if they, at the time, knew that they truly were women in men's bodies, as you know, as that experience goes. I'm not trans. I cannot speak to how that goes. But I think that it's an interesting thing to think about, that maybe this movie, maybe some of the themes of this movie came directly from their subconscious, and as they talked through it, as they continued to write and direct these films, they sort of came to sort of a new understanding of what it was they were actually, what story they were actually telling.
Yeah, that's very well said.
I know, it's probably the smartest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we should cut that. We're gonna get off brand.
We have to stay on theme. By the way, this is coming from like the world's most cynical person who will just point at anything and be like, oh, that's just marketing.
Right.
But I do believe that there maybe is something to that.
No, I agree. I think there's definitely something to be said for the unknown influences or directions that people want to take a creative project and take it to a place that they didn't even understand for themselves in the moment, possibly. That's part of the beauty of art.
So let's ourselves transition. That's not what I was gonna say. But then it just came out. I apologize. Let us move on to another piece of extremely high art, which we will be addressing next week. Perhaps the highest of all the art, if you talk about art as a money-making opportunity.
Well,
this is the highest art ever.
I mean, and, you know,
we're watching the first Pokemon movie.
We might as well be.
You know, actually, we could watch that. That would be something to discuss. That is not what we're watching.
Though. No. We are sticking with our arc, which we didn't speak much to, of characters who seem dead but aren't.
In this case,
spoiler alert: Keanu Reeves does not die, because there are more movies that are made, but he seems like he's going to die at one point in the film.
So we believe that Wesley from The Princess Bride, that he was dead, mm-hmm. because they turned up the, they mm-hmm. turned it up to 11.
He was only almost dead, though.
Right. And Keanu Reeves was almost dead, but love and belief in himself brought him back to life.
Exactly.
Which is probably the dumbest thing about this movie.
Right. But next week, we're going to continue on that theme, and we're going to go to film from 1977, little thing called Star Wars.
Maybe you... No, you're good. I was like, maybe you need to say that louder, because I'm not sure that the waveform picked it up. But I think Star Wars!
Star Wars. I said it. I was just being dramatic.
I have not seen Star Wars, a fact which will probably anger and not surprise any of our listeners.
Oh my gosh, it'll be amazing to... I'm gonna actually... This will be one where coming up with a quiz for you end will be great, because I'll come up with all sorts of really easy Star Wars questions. And if you didn't pick them up by the end, it'll be really funny.
Ask me anything about Star Wars right now, just to end this show. Like let's establish a baseline of my Star Wars knowledge based on what I've picked up through like cultural osmosis.
Okay.
Sorry, no, I'm putting you on the spot.
What's the name of one of the robots?
One of the robots. It's in the first movie. I know two robots. There's C-3PO and okay. there's R2-D2.
Okay, your cultural osmosis has gotten you that much.
There was a controller for an Xbox 360 that's gold. It's the C-3PO controller. Yeah. And then the console, was it looks like R2-D2.
Okay, yeah. See, yeah, just exposure to video games is going to get...
It does get me a good chunk of the way there. There's so many Star Wars games.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What's the name of the ship that they fly around in most often?
Oh boy, who's they?
The all the main characters.
Is it the Millennium Falcon?
That's correct.
Oh wow. Man, I'm two for two. Wow. Maybe I know more. Wow. We don't even need to watch it. Let's just record a podcast.
Yeah, like, we'll just vibe our way through it.
Oh, I love this part in the movie where
there's when he used the Force.
Oh, dude, that was awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
And then Darth Vader went flying. And
then there were the lights.
Got shot off into space.
And the lightsabers and the blasters.
Yeah. I love when they use the blasters on the bad guys.
I mean, obviously.
They dressed up as the bad guys. And I don't know the name. The guys with the masks. Yeah, what are they called? I don't know that.
They all dress the same.
They're in like hoods. They're like KKK members. But
wow.
That's what I...
They do not wear hoods. They wear helmets, sir.
Are they white?
They're all white.
Well. They're not riding
on horseback. They don't have laser torches.
Not in this movie.
maybe in the next Disney, next set of Disney movies that they're going to come out with in the 2030s. That they'll have laser torches.
Have they announced more Star Wars films? I mean, they have to at some point, right?
They will. They're letting it cool off a bit. That's because they... Best. Yeah. They're going to kill that golden goose. That's the danger.
Even as someone who doesn't care at all, I was so oversaturated. Oh my God, there's another Star Wars thing out?
Definitely never going to see any of these movies.
It's too late. There's too many of them. Not until
I can make some content out of it, at least.
Exactly, yeah. Now that I have a podcast, I can, to my heart's content, just watch Star Wars films.
That's right.
Next 20 episodes.
Oh, God.